You're listening to Radio Law Enforcement, old-time radio programs dedicated to courageous officers of the law. Hello, this is Clyde J. Kell with a brief reminder. Mystery Play Internet Radio is listener-supported, so I encourage your monetary support with a donation today. Please visit www.mpir-otr.com and click on the donations page. A one-time donation of any amount will be greatly appreciated. Again, that's www.mpir-otr.com. And thank you for listening to Mystery Play Internet Radio.
NBC presents Frank Lovejoy in Knife Beat.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Chicago Star. Behind the business suit respectability of the big city lies another world, a world of other standards and other laws. It's the rich world of chance, rich for all but the suckers on the outside. Your choices are many. Backroom roulette, nickel and dime policy slips sold on many a corner, and upstairs poker clubs for the tuxedo trade. For all its profit, feeding the public urge to get rich on a spin is a tough business. The men who run it live steady and die hard. The most recent boss of Operation Wager, Sligo, Joe Sligo, wanted in New York for extortion, in Illinois for murder. But all the Chicago authorities knew about him was his business philosophy, pay up or die. I was just straightening up everything preparatory to a night on the town when I remembered I'd left a story lead on my editor's desk. I walked upstairs and along the corridor toward his office when I heard steps behind me. I turned around. It was Charlie Robbins, who worked in accounting. And when he got to me, he grabbed my arm.
Randy, boy, I'm glad I caught you.
What's up?
I gotta talk to you. It's important.
Must be.
Let's go downstairs to the coffee shop, huh?
Well, as soon as I pick up some coffee.
No, there isn't time, Randy. Come on.
I knew what it was before he told me. It had happened before. Charlie was a family man and a hard worker. A guy with a future, they said. His only trouble was he liked the rattle of dice, and once Charlie started losing, which was most of the time, he'd throw every cent he had to the wolves and then start playing on his credit rating. Charlie's ventures at the tables hadn't leaked through to his boss as yet, only because his friends had kept him out of trouble with cash loans. We crowded into a back booth at the cafe, and I made up my mind I was going to let Charlie sweat this one out alone.
Gee, I'm glad I ran into you, Randy. I don't know what I'd have done if I hadn't run into you.
Well, the answer is no, Charlie.
Listen, Randy, this is the last time, I swear.
Every time I bail you out, you only get in deeper.
The last time, so help me, Randy, the last time.
That's been the story for 2 years, Charlie. What do you let yourself get in so deep for?
I don't know what it is. It's something that gets you. Every time I go in there, I go in there saying, I don't care whether I win or lose. I'm just doing it for the fun of it. That's what I say. Then I start to drop some dough. It's like I'm drowning. I got to get back. Then it's all gone, and I come out of it, and there's the guy with my money. I want to reach across and grab it back. And then I remember I lost it, and I got to go home.
Can't stay away from it, Charlie?
No.
Well, what about next time?
There won't be a next time, Randy, I swear. Look, Randy, I wouldn't ask you for the money, not if it was just another 50 bucks to some guy in the club, but this is serious.
Isn't it always?
Yeah, I guess. But this is really serious. Randy, this guy, he told me if I don't have the money by tonight. See, I'm in deep to him. Not like the other times. Deeper.
How much deeper?
I'm to him for $3,000.
$3,000?
Yeah.
Oh, Charlie, you're talking to the wrong guy.
What do I do, Randy? He said if I didn't have the money...
Who said?
Phil, his name is. He's Sligo's right-hand man.
Sligo? Joe Sligo?
Yeah.
You know Sligo?
No, and I don't care if I never meet him. Randy, what am I going to do?
$3,000. You got yourself in a lot of trouble.
You know lots of people, Randy. Look, let's say I took a loan. Now, I make $75 a week. Say I took out a loan for $3,000 and paid it back over a period of, say, 2 years.
Who are you kidding? You're loaned up to your neck.
Yeah, but I'd pay this one off first.
$3,000. A wife, a couple of kids.
Don't lecture me.
I got half a mind to let them do what they want to you, Charlie. Maybe you have a right to throw your own dough into the lake. That's your business. As far as your family is concerned, that's their business if they put up with this routine. But when you come to me for dough, that's my business. My good sense says I'll be supporting the city poker club for the next couple of years.
You're right. I got no business coming to you for money. I got myself into it. I got to pay for it. Forget it, Randy. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Sit down. $3,000.
The reason I was thinking about a personal loan from somebody, I wouldn't have to tell them about my other obligations. A loan company, a bank, I wouldn't have a chance. They want to know about the people you owe and maybe collateral.
Oh, hold on now. Come on, take it easy. Take a cigarette.
Thanks. What did they do, Randy?
I don't know.
They'll kill me, won't they?
You never can tell.
I've been in debt to them for 6 months.
I can't figure how they let you play that long.
I told Phil I was getting some money from San Francisco. This Phil, he knows me. I always managed to pay up before, so he gave me credit. But 6 months...
Yeah, he's a little crazy, too.
Oh, well, I told him a good story.
I'll bet.
If he goes to Sligo tonight and tells him about it...
All the guys they get mixed up with, Sligo. Hey, wait a minute.
What is it, Randy?
Charlie, look, you say he wants the money tonight.
Tonight. Got to be tonight.
You're not going to get $3,000 cash from anybody I know. It's 11:30 now. What time do you have to have the money?
He said be at the club at 4 a.m. The latest. That's when they close up.
The police are looking for Sligo. You know that.
Yeah, I know that.
They've been looking for him for months. They're not even sure he's in Chicago.
Look, I'm not getting involved in any...
You're already involved up to here. Now, the police want Sligo. Without Sligo, you don't owe $3,000.
No. Count me out.
Okay, forget it. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do.
They'd kill me if they found out I was the one who turned him in.
You know where Sligo is, Charlie?
I didn't say that. I just said that...
How could you turn him in if you didn't know where he was? You know where Sligo is, don't you?
No, I don't know where he is.
You're never going to get a hold of $3,000 tonight.
I got to.
Never. Not a chance in a million. Get that through your head, Charlie. You'll never get a hold of that money tonight.
All right.
You know the ropes. You know the operation. Sligo can't afford to have debtors wandering around. A debtor broadcasts a debt. If people find out Sligo's getting lenient, you know what happens. Credit goes to pieces. Collection is rough stuff, Charlie. It's only one way Sligo can make good a bad debt. And that's with a gun.
You're trying to scare me.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do.
I'll get the money if I have to...
Oh, sit down. Don't be a fool. That's not the answer.
There's 50 grand up there in the safe. I've got the key to the office.
Why didn't you take it before?
I thought of it. You think I didn't think of it?
But you didn't take it.
All day I handle this stuff. We made up the payroll today. All I had to do was...
You didn't take it, and that's what counts. And you're not going to take it now. Now, sit down. Now, listen to me, Charlie. You came to me for help. Now, if I'm going to help you, you've got to tell me everything, and on the level. Otherwise, I won't lift a finger.
I told you everything.
Do you know where Joe Sligo is? Now, answer me.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I want to know.
But I'm not...
There's $3,000. Now, is it possible to make arrangements to give it to him personally and instead of handling it through this,
Phil, yeah. Phil, no, not possible.
Why not?
Because it's not, that's all. What's this all about?
A trap, a setup.
Are you crazy?
It's safer than walking home past those dark alleys, Charlie.
What would it be? I mean, what kind of a setup?
Well, that we'd have to talk to the police about.
And if something went wrong?
You'd be no worse off than you are. What do you say?
I need a drink. Let's get out of here.
Across the street was a little bar. Blue lights and soft music. We sat down. I bought Charlie something to settle his nerves. He gulped it down, made a face, and then fell to dipping the bottom of his glass in the wet spot on the bar. I asked him if it was all settled, if he'd go through with it. He didn't answer me. I got up, called Lieutenant Peterson, told him where to meet me. In 15 minutes, the three of us, Charlie, the lieutenant, and I, were sitting in a back booth making our plans.
4 o'clock, huh?
That's what he said, didn't you, Charlie?
Did you say 4 o'clock, Charlie? Come on, Charlie, snap out of it. Look at me. Did you say 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock, yeah.
What's the address?
He's got friends. They'll get me. If he doesn't get me, his friends will.
If everything goes right, you'll be okay. If it misses, you're in trouble. Just make sure it doesn't miss. That's the way to play it safe.
Either you get Sligo or Sligo gets you, Charlie. It's as simple as that.
I'm not going through with it.
Well, you said...
I never said I would.
What's the address, Charlie?
I'm not getting myself killed.
He'll do it, Lieutenant. He'll do it. Charlie, now what's the address? We haven't got much time. It's 1:30.
I've got $3,000 marked bills. It's right here in my pocket. It's the only way you'll ever beat him. Now, come on. What's the address?
Blanchard Hotel, 307.
We'll do it this way. You go upstairs, give him the money. Not before 4 o'clock. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I understand. Not before 4 o'clock.
That's right. At 4:05, get out of here.
And if I can't? What if I can't get out of there?
It won't matter. We'll have the place covered from a place across the street, from the door, from the room adjacent.
They'll hold me hostage.
The best way to ensure your safety is to do what you're told.
I can't do it. I can't do it, Lieutenant.
Why can't you?
They'll hold me.
Charlie, look. What's going to happen if you don't have the money?
Oh, don't tell me again. I know it. I know it.
It's very easy if you remember what to do. You hand them the cash.
Why do I have to be in there? It's the Blanchard Hotel, 307, 4 o'clock. Why do I have to be in there?
You tell me.
Well, maybe you don't. Do you, Charlie?
I'm supposed to pick up the key at the desk and wait for them upstairs. If I don't pick up the key, if I'm not in the room, they don't come in.
Well, maybe just pick up the key and then...
They'll be watching from down the hall, they said.
Here's the money, Charlie. I'm depending on you. Stay with him, Stone. I've got to get busy. It's going to be all right, Charlie. At 4:30, you'll be home in bed and you won't owe anybody anything.
I'm scared.
Take care of him, Stone. See you at 4:05.
Well, let's get out of here. What do you say?
Yeah. Maybe they're watching. Every minute, maybe they've got their eye on me. Maybe they saw me with the police.
Maybe.
If they did...
No turning back now, Charlie.
What if I told him everything? What if I get him up here and tell him the whole deal?
Now, there's a great idea. Tell him I brought the cops right to his door. He'll love you for that.
Why me? Why does it have to be me?
Because you're the guy in trouble.
Look, I got a family, a wife and two kids.
A little late for that.
I got to call her.
After it's all over.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Nice evening.
Yeah. Nice evening and a great story. It's going to be a great story, isn't it, Randy? Great story.
It's a great story either way, but it's a better story with a happy ending. The people buy more papers that way.
I can't get out of it, can I? Well, maybe I can. I could make a break for it. Meet him, hand him the money, and beat it.
$3,000, except that it's marked. Marked money leaves a trail like neon. He may not like you handing him that kind of money.
What time is it?
It's 1:55, about 2 more hours.
Hello, Charlie. How are you? Remember me?
Phil.
Yeah, Phil. How you been? You're looking great. Hey, let's go down to the place. I'll buy you a drink. What do you say?
Hey, that's a great idea. Come on, Charlie. Let's go get a drink.
Just Charlie.
Well, just Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie and I have a couple of things to do tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Dull, huh, Charlie?
There's a car across the street. Get going.
Better do as he says, Charlie.
You too.
Where's the party?
Don't get funny, mister. People have a way of getting killed.
NBC is bringing you Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone. A child with cerebral palsy has only half a chance. Won't you give him the other half? He needs costly, highly specialized care. He needs to learn to walk and talk. He needs to learn things everyone else takes for granted. But does he get them? He gets less than half because the care just isn't there. Right now, the tragic truth is that 92 out of every 100 persons with cerebral palsy must struggle along without any care at all. Give them a chance to lead useful, active lives. Give them a chance to become self-sufficient. That's all they ask, just a fair chance. You can help them lead active, useful lives by supporting cerebral palsy, care of your local postmaster. Remember, a child with cerebral palsy has only half a chance. Won't you give him the other half? And now back to Night Beat and Randy Stone.
It was 2 o'clock, 2 hours early for the setup. Maybe the lieutenant was having us watched. Maybe, but the chances were slim. The best guess was Charlie and I were on our own until 4:05. The Blanchard Hotel was a crummy dump near the railroad tracks. We went inside and went upstairs to 307. Phil unlocked the door and we went in. There was nothing to do but play for time. We sat down and through the window I could hear a switch engine doing its chores. I looked at Charlie. He was white, his eyes big with terror. Phil sat near the door smoking. We watched until 3:45. Then the door opened and closed quickly. It was Sligo, 15 minutes early. He was a big man with an ample bubble of paunch under his gabardine and a white, broad-brimmed hat and 4 or 5 extra chins back between his jaw and his collar. His pinpoint eyes and pat smile were all business and cash on the line.
Phil, do me a favor, pull down the blinds. I don't want the nosy neighbors picking in.
Blinds, right.
Close the window. It's dusty.
Window, right.
What'd you bring this other one for?
I had to, Sligo. He and Charlie. I thought maybe Charlie tipped or something.
You tip anything, Charlie?
Me? Not me, Sligo.
I'm just a friend.
You gave me till 4 o'clock.
Phil, he got the money?
He's got it. He was in the back booth of a bar. I saw the three of them. I watched them just like you said, Sligo. He got the money from some guy.
What guy?
Some guy? I don't know.
A personal loan from a friend.
I didn't ask you.
That's all I know about it, Sligo.
What's your name, you?
Stone, Randy Stone, Chicago Star.
Newspaper reporter. That's fine, Phil. A newspaper man. Let's bring the whole city in on this deal. What'd he say?
I was scared he knew something, Sligo. I thought that...
Every time you think, I end up in trouble.
You gave me till 4 o'clock.
You got the money now. What's the difference?
I...
Collateral.
What collateral?
He promised the guy he borrowed the money from to give him a note on his house.
Had to mortgage the homestead, eh, Charlie? That's tough.
He said he'd have the note by 3:30 tonight.
Well, that's too bad, Charlie.
You gave me till 4 o'clock.
Do me a big favor. Shut up. Phil, give me a cigar.
A cigar, you bet. Here.
Tell me, Stone, what kind of report are you? You go out and get the news, or you a fella out to change the world?
A little of both.
Seems to me I read something to you sometime.
That's always nice to hear.
About a man getting sent up for murder. How it was that he got mixed up in it, right? Phil, do me a favor. Sit down. Pacing makes me nervous. Didn't I tell you?
Oh, sorry.
People in this room, they're the only ones know I'm in town. The only ones in the world. Now, when information like this gets out, like through a mouthy slob like Charlie here, I can get into lots of trouble.
Must be a big payoff, Sligo.
Good enough. A thing like this racket, I don't let get away so easy.
I get your point.
You like to gamble, Mr. Stone. You think it's naughty, huh?
Well, gambling? I don't know.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something, Mr. Stone. Gambling is a good way to get out your hate. That's why people gamble, not to get rich. You gamble your money, it's like a knife. And you gamble, can I stick that knife in that fellow, or will he stick his knife in me, huh?
Sligo, listen.
Shut up. You're an onion head. I'm talking with a man got some sense. You sit there, you listen, try to learn something, onion head. Stone, what I say, that's right, huh?
There's some truth in it.
Yeah, you bet. I'll tell you something else, Stone. Everybody gambles. Everybody. You step down off a curb, you gamble. You bet your life, that's what you do. Every time you step off a curb, you say, I bet my life a car don't come along and hit me. That's gambling, huh? Ain't it, Stone?
That's gambling.
Okay, Charlie, let's have the money.
Here, Phil.
Count it later. I don't think Charlie's a double-crosser. He hasn't got the knife. Phil, put it away.
Yeah, all right.
Phil, not naked. Put it in an envelope. I told you to bring an envelope.
I got it.
What time is it, Phil?
3:40, about.
Not about. What time?
3:38.
Let's get out of here.
Like to take a little bet of mine, Sligo?
You got a bet? Sure. What kind of bet?
I'll bet you Charlie and I never lived to walk out of here.
You're pretty smart fellas, Stone. I like smart fellas. Sorry, gotta be that way. I can't let you blabber now, can I?
That wouldn't be safe.
That's right. Wouldn't be safe.
Just how big a gambler are you?
I've been at it a lot of years.
Gambling? Big boys like you don't gamble.
Not unless it's for big stakes. Big enough to enjoy.
What's the biggest loot you ever took, Sligo?
100,000. One roll of the dice.
Peanuts.
100,000, that's peanuts, eh?
I'll bet you more than that.
More than 100,000?
I'll bet you our lives.
Your lives, eh?
Come on, Sligo, let's get out of here.
Shut up, Phil. Go on, make your proposition, Stone.
One hand of draw poker.
For your life.
For my life and Charlie's. There's a gamble for you, Sligo. Or are you strictly a sure thing better?
A gamble is a gamble, Mr. Stone. If I gamble for your life, what do I get out of it? I got your life right now. I don't gamble for what I already got.
One hand of draw poker, Sligo. If you win, you win the kill. If you lose, we get out of here. 100% safe.
It's a crazy bet. I get nothing out of it.
I'll leave $10,000 for you in a checking box at Grand Central Station. Now, that's my bet. That's what you win. $10,000, Sligo. Our lives are worth more than that.
Only to you. Besides, where do you get 10,000?
I'll get it.
If you don't?
You know where to find me.
Come on, Sligo.
Shut up, Phil.
The stakes too high for you?
It's a lousy bet. I'll take it.
Let's not kid around, Sligo.
I told you to shut up, didn't I? You got a pardon him, Stone. He's no gambler. You and me, we got gambling in the blood, huh? Charlie, what about you? You like the deal?
What do you say, Charlie?
Look at him. He can't say a word. He's scared, eh, Charlie? He's scared. Phil, the cards.
Sorry.
Sorry? What do you mean, sorry?
Not your cards, not my cards. A new deck.
Who buys the deck?
I do.
Get the cops, maybe? No soap, Stone. I thought there was some...
Phil can come with me. There's a counter open in the lobby.
Phil, go with him.
I don't like it.
Don't have to like it. Go with him. I'll be waiting for you, Stone.
Come on, Phil. Phil and I went downstairs. I walked slowly, using up the seconds. We bought a deck of cards. I put them in my pocket. And Phil and I went back upstairs. I looked at my watch. 3:55. When we walked into the room, there was the night table dragged out in the center of the room. Two chairs on each side. Charlie was sitting in the corner, his face white and the sweat pouring down the flesh of his throat. Sligo was all smiles. He was having the time of his life. We sat down. I put the unopened pack of cards on the table right in the middle. Sligo picked it up, turned it slowly around in his hand, and then he put it down again, and he nodded. The game was on. One hand, draw poker. The stakes, our lives.
You open the pack, Stone. I trust you.
Thanks.
Nice and shiny, huh, Phil?
I don't like it.
That's because you're stupid. Cut for deal, Stone.
Cut for deal.
You first.
After you.
Okay. Queen.
Pretty good.
Your turn.
All right. Ten, your deal.
No, please, no.
Shut them up, Phil.
Yeah.
No, hold it. Let him watch. If he makes too much noise, give it to him, but good. But I like when he watches.
Deal.
A five-card draw, that's what you said.
Five-card draw, that's right.
Fine. Looks funny, no money on the table.
It's a nice pot.
Phil, put 10,000 in the middle of the table. Looks good there.
Right.
How many, Stone?
Three.
Three? Got a pair, huh?
Maybe.
You got a pair.
Shut up, punk.
Let him alone, Phil. Let him cry.
Three cards, Sligo.
Three cards. I'll take one. Okay, Stone. What do you got?
You first, Sligo.
I called you.
You first.
The rules of the game...
Let's see him, Sligo.
Queens over tens.
That's pretty good.
Come on, Stone. Let's see that hand.
Okay. Three. Ten. Ace.
Put up your hands, Sligo.
Cops, you dirty double cross.
Gotta get out of here.
Stay where you are.
Our lives against yours, Sligo. It was a fair bet.
Fair bet, yeah. Let's see that card.
What, the last card? Sure.
Ace of diamonds.
Three aces, Sligo. Beats two pair any time. Yeah, Joe Sligo, gambler, got fat on his own odds. The cards were always stacked and the wheel always favored the house. But when he played a straight hand of draw poker for human life, Joe Sligo just didn't have enough aces. That's because he forgot that luck and rackets don't jibe. When you're betting murder against the chair, you're up against the United States population. And you know what those odds are. 150 million to one. Copy, boy.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis. Tonight's story was written by David Ellis with music by Robert Armbruster. Featured in tonight's cast were Shep Mencken, Jeff Corey, Hal March, and Don Diamond. Don Rickles speaking. Listen next week at this time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness. Night Beat came to you from Hollywood. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.